Okay, we're recording. Okay, so we're on Daf Lamed Aleph today. Everybody all set? So I'll pick up on Lamed Aleph 31A, around 5 lines from the top, just to refresh recollection to everybody who was here and people who weren't here. So yesterday we said that there's an obligation to be tovel, to immerse oneself in a mikveh before one enters the Azara, the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash. So we had a three-way machloket yesterday. We've learned, according to the Tana Ben Zoma, it's a din d'oraisa. He learns a kal v'chomer from the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol has to be tovel when he goes from the Kodesh to Kodesh Kadashim. So achas kama kama, a person should be tovel when he's coming from a chol to Kodesh. And the Gemara learns, it really means that he's subject to an essay. That's the way that the Ben Zoma learned. Then we had Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says Srach. Rabbi Yehuda says just the din drabanan, there is no obligation in a Torah to immerse when you go to the Azara. Just the Chachamim created this mitzvah, so even though you think you're tahor, maybe you are tahor, maybe you're not. When we tell you need to immerse in the mikvah, so something will click in your brain and you'll remember your tummy and then you'll correct the whole situation. And then we had a third opinion, which is the sheet of the Chachamim that we had we had three brises yesterday. So in the middle and the last brisa, the Chachamim say Mitzora Tovel Omei B'Shar Nikan, or only the Mitzora, he has to be Tovel, nobody else has to be Tovel. Okay, that's from yesterday. So now, on today's daf, Yibai Elohu, okay, around the sixth line, Yibai Elohu. So the question was asked in the base medrash, Ma'oshi Yaseh B'Sakin Arucha B'Yishchot. Now, could a person, let's say a person takes a long knife and shechs the animal, so he's standing outside the Azara, but with the long knife, he'll be shechting an animal inside the Azara. And we said that even a non-Kohen could do Shechita. Now, this question was already addressed in the Gemara Masechet Tzvachim. The Gemara learns that clearly a person is permitted to do that. And the Gemara has like cases like this, like Batuma and other things. But here it's bringing up this example. Would a person such as that, would he have to be Tovel before he does the Shechita? He's not actually in the Azara, but he's taking the knife and shechting. So the Gemara says, Yibai Elohu Ma'oshi Yasasakin Arucha B'Yishchot. By the Ben Zoma, by the Rabbanan, the Pligale, the Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says this question is Shayach for Ben Zoma. Ben Zoma was the first opinion that we just reviewed. He's the one who said that the obligation to immerse is Minotaur based on a Kal v'chomer. And you could also ask this question when the sheets of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said it was just to remind you. Now, some have a different gear set in the Gemara. Some say it's not Tibai the Rabbanan, the Pligale, the Rabbi Yehuda. You can ask it with the Chachamim who are Mechulak on Rabbi Yehuda. Those are the ones who say that only the Mitzora has to be Tovel, but some of the gears are not Rabbanan to Pligale the Rabbi Yehuda, but Libet the Rabbi Yehuda, they ask the question. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda says, it's just to remind you, but we'll see how this plays out. So first, Tibai the Ben Zoma. So focusing on Ben Zoma, Ben Zoma says that there's a Chiv Doraisa to immerse when you enter the Azara. But he says, Ankan lo Mechayv Ben Zoma el Gavoy aval Lebrai lo. So on the one hand, I could say, he's only mechayiv you to immerse in the mikveh if you enter the Azara. This person is standing outside the Azara, so he does not have to immerse. O Dilma, Apilim Shuche. Or perhaps even Ben Zoma would say that if you're shechting it outside the Azara, you may come into the Azara. In other words, you're doing something. It's more likely that you'll enter the Azara if I'm doing something that's in the Azara. So I may come to go in there. So it would come out, according to that, that Ben Zoma would say in that case, you're obligated, presumably, to be Tovel on a Drabanan level. In other words, normally he holds your Chayv on a Deraisa level, but according to that Tzad, that he's Tovel, even though he's standing outside the Azara, that would be on a Drabanan level, Dilma Atim Shuche. So that's one side of the Kasha. Then the Gemara says, he buy the Rabbanan to plead later of Yehuda. And then you could also ask, again, the way our Gemara is saying is we have three Shitot with being Tovel. So we're doing the two extremes in our Gemara. One extreme is it's a Chiv Doraisa. The other extreme, it's only the Mitzora has to do it. Nobody else has to do it. So those are the two extremes. And in the middle, you have Rabbi Yehuda who says that it's Rabbanan. And even with the Mitzora, the Chor is Rabbanan. Remember we said he was Daisha Tuma. It was like steeped in Tuma, those were afraid that he was so busy being Tame that maybe he touched some other Tuma. But it sounds like those two sound like they're Drabanan. So with this, so Tibai the Rabbanan, Pligale the Rabbi Yehuda, Ad Kan Lo Kan Rabbanan Hatam, lo ka'avid avoda. So the Gemara says perhaps the Chachamim who said that only the Metzora has to do tevila, they're talking about a person who's not doing avoda. He says aval hakad ka'avid avoda lo. Or but perhaps in this case, even those Chachamim would say when the person is actively engaged in avoda, i.e. shchita, that he would have to be tovel. Oh, dilma lo shna. Teku, or maybe it makes a big difference. So it's a teku. The now, if I do it the other way, which was within the shita of Reb Yehuda, so it could be like within Reb Yehuda, he holds that that it's like strach tefila, that you maybe you forgot that you were tamei, but according to the sad, he would say that like if a person's engaged in avoda, so maybe then even though he's outside, he would have to do it. All right. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Well, it's interesting. Again, we discussed this yesterday. The term avoda could be used narrowly or broadly. Narrowly, it's clearly an avoda. It's one of the four avoda with a korban. It's clearly an avoda, but it's something that doesn't require a kohen. So it is an avoda, but some for this din of tefillah have like a larger, remember, definition. Remember, they say like avoda means anything that's in any way related to the avoda. All right. Any questions in the cyber field? I guess not. Okay. All right. Let's go on. All right. Let's see back in the Gemara. And I hope people will come visit us back in the shul. I miss the humans here. Okay. And I'm happy for the people who are here, but we could use more of the people. Okay. Now, we're at the two dots around 10 lines from the bottom on Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph. So we said in the Mishnah that on Yom Kippurim, the Kohen Gadol, in the course of his avoda, he's tovel five times. He goes to the mikvah, and asar kedushin, is 10 times he washes his hands and feet from the kiyor, which is one of the kelim in the base of mikvah. So Tana Rabban, chamesh tefilot ba'asar kedushin tovel Kohen Gadol, u'mekadesh bo bayom, u'kulan b'kodesh b'vei parva. You know. By the way, I said something the other day, which I have to correct. I said that that on Yom Kippur, we say 10 biduyim, which is true. And I said it was based on the 10 kiddushin that the Kohen Gadol does. It's not based on the 10 kiddushin. It's the fact, I looked it up today, it's the fact that the Kohen Gadol says the Shema Meforesh 10 times on Yom Kippur. That's it. In other words, three times he makes a bidui, and he says, Ana Hashem, Ana Vashem, but he's pronouncing the Shema Meforesh. And then once, He has the lottery. I mean, one korban is La Hashem. I remember Rav Shechter explained to me that the 10th one, I couldn't figure what the 10th one was. But anyway, it's La Hashem. Anyway, so back in the Gemara, we learned the price that Chamesh Tefilah Ba'asar Kedushin Tovel Kohen Gadol, Mekadesh Bo Bayom, V'Kulan Bakodesh Beit HaParva. So all of his immersions, certainly the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim is definitely in the base of the Mikdash, and all the immersions of the Mikvah are also in the base of the Mikdash. He says that the Beit HaParva. Beit HaParva is a structure that's in the base of the Mikdash. Except for the first immersion, in other words, he's going to change from his civilian clothes to the big day zahav. So that immersion takes place on the Shar HaMayim. Now, if you have the Art School of Gemara, you have your floor plan of the Beit HaMikdash, so it's good to repeat the floor plan. Let's get the floor plan open. So for the people who have the Art School of Gemara, so if you look, they did nicely. If you look on the bottom of the diagram, there's two blue squares. Everybody see the 43 and 27? Everybody see the blue squares? Okay, here's, if you don't have the art scroll, here's a picture of the art scroll. One second, I can show it up there. Okay, there you go. I don't know how well you can see it, but there's a blue square at the bottom of the page. And then here's another blue square at the bottom of the page. Anyway, so the blue square is on the mikvah. So the Shar HaMayim is 43, is the Shar HaMayim. You see, 43 is the Shar HaMayim. And then next to it, you see, is 44, which is Lishka Beit Avtinas. So do you remember, earlier in the Gemara we learned, remember, during the time that he's preparing for Yom Kippur, remember, they sequestered him to Lishka Parhedrin. But the Gemara said, let's take a look on, I think, Dr. Yotet. So the Gemara says, if you look on Daf Yutet, on 19a, so it says, it says Amar Rapapa, the top line on Yutet Amar Aleph, says Amar Rapapa Shtei Lishkot Ayulu Kohen Gadol Chat Lishkat Parhedrin V'Chat Lishkat Beit Avtinas. He had like two homes during that week. One is Lishkat parhedron, the other is Lishkat Beit Avtinas. So Lishkat Beit Avtinas, he says, one in the north, one in the south. In other words, that's where he's going to learn Kapina. Kapina is, he's one of the most difficult devotos in the Beis HaMikdash, is learning how to take the Ketoret. He's got to take this pan and flip it over into his cupped hands, which is Kapina. So that's where he studies that. Anyway, so 43. And the other ones are done at 27. Okay, now 43, you see it's like outside the Beis HaMikdash. 27 is inside the Beis HaMikdash. So let's see back in the Gemara. So that's the end of the Braisa. Okay? So Amar Abaye, Shvamina in Etam, Devomi Parkazar, Esrim Shoshamot. So Abaye says from here, one can extrapolate that Ein Etam is the Etam spring with at least 23 amot above the surface of the Beis HaMikdash, above the ground of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara is going to explain that the source of the water for the mikvah was Ein Etam. Ein Etam was a very high point in Eretz Yisrael. So in those days, they couldn't pump water up, so the water had to flow down. So it's a spring, and the water's flowing down. And again, it's they're going to use the spring water for the mikvah, so it can't come into any kalim either, not that they would have the kalim to put it in. So he says, now Rashi says that Ein Etam, Rashi says, is it's Mayan Meinaftuach, Hamor B'Sefer Yoshua. So the Meinaftuach is mentioned in Sefer Yoshua in the book of Joshua. Rashi says that's the same spring. Let's take a look. So what says back in the Gemara, he says, Amar Bai Shvamina Ein Etam Gavomi Karkazara Eshrim Shloshamot. And Ein Etam was 23 amot above the floor of the Azara. Now, the floor of the Azara, remember, the Beis HaMikdash is on a high point, and Ein Etam is 23 amot above that. How so? So the Gemara says, it's done, because we learn in the Mishnah, this Mishnah is the second Midot, Kol HaPtachim Shayusham Gavon Esrim Ma'brachman Esra Amot, Kutz Mishal Ulam, that all the entranceways in the Beis HaMikdash were each 20 amot high and 10 amot wide. So it means this mikvah is on top of the Shar HaMayim, the water gate. So I think we said it was Shar HaMayim. I think they brought the water, they said, for the Nisach HaMayim through there, I think. So anyway, the mikvah is on top of Shar HaMayim, the water gate. So the water gate is 20 amot high, and it was the entranceway is 20 amot high and 10 amot wide. He says, except for the Shal Ulam, except the entranceway, the Ulam, which was higher. And I think wider as well. But Tanya, we learned the Braisa, Vrachatz B'Sarov HaMayim. So this pasuk is talking about a Baal Keri. If the Torah says Vrachatz B'Sarov HaMayim, he washes flesh in water, but it doesn't mean take a shower. He says the main mikvah. In other words, it doesn't say Bimayim with a Shva, it says Bamayim, in the water. So Chazal teach us the water is mikvah. He has to immerse himself in a mikvah. And then it says Kol B'Sarov, Vrachatz B'mayim, it says et kol b'saro. What does it mean? All his whole flesh. Mayim shkol gufo ol lebehem. So Chazal teach us means that it has to be enough water that he could like immerse his whole body in. But kamehain, how much water is that? So Chazal teach us, and this is a nice line just to remember. If you remember this one line from Daf Yomi and you keep it with you, it'd serve you well. Amal ama brum shoshamot. One ama by one ama by three amo. In other words, the person could fit into a cubicle that size. If one amo by one amo by three amo, the shiarucha chamim mikvah sa. The chamim evaluated that amount of water is 40 sa, which is a minimum shear for a mikvah. Okay, so let's go back to again. So what we're saying is we have Ein Etam. Ein Etam, the Etam spring, is supplying the water for this mikvah. The mikvah is on top of Shar HaMayim. Shar HaMayim is 20 amot high, at least the space is 20 amot high. And then I have the mikvah on top of it. So the Gemara is figuring that the mikvah is going to be 3 amot high and 1 amot by 1 amot at the base. So Mimela, the water, in order to be like, they don't have pumps pumping up the water. The spring is going to put the water in. But anyway, you couldn't have a pump because the water can't go into a keli. But the water must be at least, in Etam has to be at least 23 amot above the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, otherwise it wouldn't be able to get the water. So let's take a look on the Gemara. So on turn page on top line in Amad Beis, Amad Alpha Bay, 31B. So Va'ika Ama Tikra Va'amama Zivor. So the Gemara says, that's nice, but you're leaving out, it's got to be higher than that, the Gemara figures, because you're leaving out an Ama for the, like, the ceiling, the roof, he says, and an Amama Zivor is like sort of like concrete. In other words, the Gemara is thinking, if I got the mikvah on top of Shar HaMayim, the mikvah is not right, like right on top of the Shar HaMayim. Some of them need like a foundation, and you know, between the mikvah and this archway. So the figure must be at least another two amot. So it's another two amot, so at any time it would have to be 25 amot. So the Gemara says, Arim debate mikdash, 31b, the top line. 31b, the top line. Okay? So Vayika Amatik Ravam Ziva. So the Gemara says, Sha'arim Dveda Mikdash, came the Shishan in whom, Bamashu Avdilhu. The Gemara says the gates in the base of Mikdash were made out of marble. And the marble, I guess, is much stronger than other materials. And Mamela, they did not require an Amma for the Tikra for the roof, another Amma for the Maziva, like a little foundation for the Mikvah. He says, so the Gemara says, Vayika Yak Mashahu. So, okay, so what about that mashu? So it shouldn't be that any time is 23 amot. It should be 23 amot on a mashu. There's got to be something there on top of it. So the Gemara says, came and by since it was less than an amot, he doesn't mention it. In other words, he's only mentioning like the round figures. But in Achinamim, any time was 23 amot above the floor of the base of Mikdash. In other words, so they created a channel where it filled in for this mikvah. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything that I did so far? Anybody here? Anybody there? Okay. Wait, say again, repeat. Right. In other words, the mikvah, the top of the mikvah on top of Sharmayim must have been, the mark figures 23 amot from the floor. So my ankah must have been 23 amot above the floor. Now, the only thing is that the mikvah doesn't have to be an amma by 3 amot high. It just has to have that cubic area. So it could have been, you know, maybe 3 amot by amma and amma. In other words, like you lie into this mikvah. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be quite that way. So I think Tosfos takes that up, but that's just a ha'ara. All right. Everybody else good? All right. Let's see further. Now, in other words, it has to be at least that amount of space, 1 amot by 1 amot, 3 amot. But it doesn't have to be that it's that way. It could be like 3 amot long and 1 amot high and 1 amot wide, in which case it would not have been, you know, it could have been 21, you know, or why can't it be that way? All right. So,
well, it should be larger, because if it's exactly that size and you go into it, the water will go out.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, that's an issue. In other words, but the key is
exactly
I have
that
the minimum.
Size.
I have
that they, gave the, they gave the shear to give you the amount of water that's 40 sa. But if it was actually that size, it wouldn't be kosher because the water would come out.
No. In other words,
I mean, right. He's talking about the displacement of the
right.
Yeah, I hear.
So it can't be that size. That's not the right size for the mikvah. The mikvah must be bigger. If you're going to go into it.
In other words, you're thinking like the water displacement when the kohen immerses himself in the mikvah.
It'll flow out.
Yeah, but yeah. So even if you say that, you could say that the amount would be less than an amma displacement. Presumably, I don't know how much water would be displaced.
I'm saying if you do the exact amount of the 40 saw, which is the 1 by 1 by 3, as soon as it goes in, water comes out. So you're already less than the 40 saw, unless you say, I mean, it happens instantaneously.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but let's say they build the mikvah a little deeper than
it has to be bigger.
How much deeper would it have to be?
I'm saying,
let's say
depends how big the person is.
Right, but let's say it's 3.5 amot by an amot by an amot. So the Gemara said that the in Eitam only had to be the truth is though, you see once the mikvah let's go slowly with this, right? But the mikvah would fill it in, right? All right, so I don't know what to say. Right,
he has water on his body too. Don't forget it when he comes out.
All right. Let's go on line 4. Okay, now parsu sadin shabots v'chuli. We said that they would spread this like curtain of linen around the Kohen Gadol, like for tznius, so people don't, you know, he doesn't have to, you know, the whole world doesn't have to see him being tovel. He says, so my shana shabutz, so why bedafka was the screen made of butz? Butz is linen. Why was the screen made of butz? So the Gemara says, you know, it's interesting. In modern Hebrew, I think butz, isn't butz modern Hebrew?
Yes.
Yamalka? Yeah. I remember I was working on a kibbutz many, many moons ago. And I remember the guy who had tie-ins with the guy who was like in charge with the irrigation, with the props. And he said, the butz or whatever. Anyway, so let's take a look. But here it means linen. He says, my shash kibbutz. So Rav Kahana makes a statement. See, the same halacha, this is the first immersion. By the second immersion, so that was on the Beit HaParva, but they also spread the screen of butz. So over there, Rav Kahana explains why butz, that's to serve as a reminder of the Kohen Gadol, that today he serves the big day butz with linen garments. In other words, the Kohen Gadol, every day he's wearing presumably or whatever, whenever he serves in the base of Mikdash, he's wearing the big day zahav. He's wearing eight begadim. So he needs like reminders today. You know, I got to remember there's big day butz. So you'd think that, you know, with everything going on, you'd remember. So hakanami shakir shodariyam the big day butz. So the linen is, so it's like a reminder to him today. He's got to change also into the linen, the four begadim linen garments. All right, everybody good? All right, let's do the next piece of Gemara. So the next Mishnah, manitin. Pashat Yarad B'Taval. So the Kohen Gadol disrobes. He goes down to the mikveh. He's Tovel. Alav V'Nistapeg. Then he gets out of the mikveh and he dries himself off. Evilo B'Gdei Zahav V'Lavash B'Kidei Shadav Raglav. It's interesting, you know, a lot of Hasidim, they immerse themselves in the mikveh on Shabbos, but you see that here, even in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohenim would immerse also on a Shabbos, certainly the Kohen Gadol, but presumably other Kohenim in regular Shabbos, because we've learned that they have to immerse themselves before they go into the Azara. So anyway, and he said, then he dries himself off, they bring him the big day Zahav, like the gold, it means like the eight begadim. He says, the lavash, he put them on, the kidei shadav raglav, and then he washed his hands and his feet from the kiur. If you lower the tamid, and they bring him the korban tamid, they bring him the lamb that we just slain this morning with the Rosh Chodesh. He says, karatzo, he made the incision in the lamb. So he means he cuts the robe of the simanim. And as you know, or for people that, you know, there's two simanim in animal, the kana and the veshet, which is the trachea and the esophagus. And the minimum shechita is the robe of both of those simanim. Both of that have to be cut through. He says, umereik acher shechita al yado. But then somebody completes the shechita al yado. Al yado either means on his behalf or al yado immediately following him. In other words, so he was cutting and somebody picks up the knife and continues cutting. Why? He says, kibel et hadam. In other words, because he, the Kohen Gadol, also is Kabbalas Adam, and it happens very quickly. In other words, he's cutting through, the blood starts spurting out. He has to do Kabbalas Adam. So somebody completes the shechita. He says, so kibel et hadam uzrako. So he's got the dam. The dam is in a mizraka type of bowl. And then he brings that bowl and goes over to the mizbeach. This is again the korban tamid. So it's the on the mizbeach achitz, so it's a regular korban. Uzrako. He does rika. It's a korban olai. So he does rika on it. Nichnas lahakir ketoret v'shachar. Now he enters the kodesh to offer the ketoret of the morning. Now this ketoret is different than the ketoret later on in the Seder Avot on Yom Kippur. We know that later on he goes in with the ketoret, with a machta, with the shovel, with coals, and he goes into the Kodesh Kadashim. This is the regular ketoret. So it's interesting, here it seems that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is going to walk into the Kodesh with the big day Zahav. In other words, he's going to change into the big day Abad later on, but right now he's with the big day Zahav and he goes into the Kodesh. He says, Ula hitivit aneiro, to clean out the candles in the menorah. Now, then he goes to offer the Rosh. The Rosh is of the Keves. In other words, he's leaving out some parts that presumably he would leave the parts on the ramp. That's what we said with Korban Tamid, the parts are left on the ramp. Now he goes out and he puts the head. The head is the first item that he puts on the Mizbeach. And then all the other Rebarim he puts on the Mizbeach. Then he offers the Chavitin. The Chavitin are the Chavitin, the Kohen Gadol, which is like a type of a meal offering the Kohen Gadol will offer every morning and every evening. Bit of yayin, the yayin, and then the Gemara says, Ketoret shel shachar, hatakreva bein dam leivarim. The Ketoret in the morning was offered between dam, between the zrikas dam, between the sprinkling of the blood on the mizbeach, and the Eibarim being burnt on the Mizbeah. That's just a din in every day, every day. In other words, every day you bring the Korban Tamid, every morning you bring Ketoret. So we have Ketoret in the Korban in the morning. So that was done every day, but between Dam and the Eibarim. Shalbein Ha'arbayim, now Bein Ha'arbayim means the Tamid Shalbein Ha'arbayim, the afternoon Korban Tamid, they also offer Ketoret, Bein Eibarim and Nesachim. That would be between when the Eibarim were placed on the Mizbeah to be burnt. And the Nesachim here means the Minchat Nesachim. Minchat Nesachim was, there was wine, but there was also a meal offering. And then, so between like the burning and the pouring of the wine and the burning of the meal offering and the Eibarim, that's when they would do the Ketoret in the afternoon. Now, the Mayak Kohen Gadol is like Keno Istanis. If the Kohen Gadol was elderly or very sensitive, Mechamin Lo Chamin, they would heat up water before Yom Kippur, and they would pour it in the cold water because he has to immerse himself in the mikveh. To take out the chill in the water. In other words, like a heated mikvah. You need a little heated mikvah. You know, I was a little wondering how hot the water would be. In other words, if you heat the water off before Yom Kippur, but the next morning, how hot could it be? Unless they're using like a black or something like that, you know, like keep going that way. But
that's what?
What? Say again?
I'm saying that's why we say that the Kohen Gadol can't be can't say about the new month because it could change that Yom Kippur could come out a month later and he's a Negei Badavah, he has to go into the cold mikvah.
Well, but that's why he can't do what?
He can't be a witness for the new month at that time or whatever it is.
For he can't be a witness for. There's something you're saying that reminds me, that's jogging my memory from the Gemara, but that's what the Gemara says, that he can't be an aid for the Rosh Chodesh.
He can't determine when the Yom Kippur.
I think it has to do with whether it's an Iber year or not. No?
Yeah, Iber year.
Whether
the year. Because what happens is then he's going
right,
to have to
right,
go
right,
with the
right, whether the Adar, because he doesn't want it to be cold out, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds correct. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far? Okay, everybody good? Okay. Okay, I'm moving on. All right, we're back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Amru Rabbanan Kamei Rav Papa Hadlok Rav Meir. So the Chachamim means the Talmidim of Rav Papa said before Rav Papa, this Mishnah is not like the Tan Rav Meir. So here, let's just look at another Mishnah, which is coming up on Shabbos Daf. You get coming attractions. We'll do Lamed Aleph Beis. Turn to 34b. 34b in the Mishnah. 10 lines from the bottom. Okay. So in the Mishnah, this is on Lamed Aleph Beis. So it says, "Have you the Beta Parva the Kodesh Meitah?" This is talking about the second immersion in the mikvah. In other words, the first immersion was he takes off the Big Day Chol and he puts on the Big Day Zahav. Now we change it from Big Day Zahav to Big Day Abad. So they spread a linen sort of b'chitza. Then it says, "Kidei shadav raglav." He washed his hands and his feet. Upashat, and then he disrobed. So the Mishnah says he does kidei shadav raglayim, and then he takes off the clothes. Rabbi Meir Omer, pashat kidei shadav raglav. The Meir says first he disrobed, and then he did kidei shadav raglayim. Now. And then Yarad B'Tabal, and then he went to reverse the mikvah. So the machloket in this Mishnah on Lamed Aleph Beis between the Chachamim Rav Meir when he does Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. So according to the Chachamim, he does Kiddush Adayim Raglayim before he disrobes. So the Gemara thinks that according to the Chachamim, the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim is connected to the disrobing, whereas we think according to Rav Meir, after he disrobes, he does it. That's something that relates to the new begotten. In other words, it's preparatory to putting on the Big Day Zahav. Okay? So the Gemara is going to ask, and we'll see this inside in a minute. So the Talmid back in our Gemara, Lamed Aleph of the Days, so the Gemara says, the Talmid of Rav Papa thought that our Mishnah must not be like Rabbi Meir. Our Mishnah says that he's going to immerse in the mikvah, and then he'll put on the Big Day Zahav, and then he'll do. And then he'll do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. So it doesn't mention doing Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, you know, before he takes off the clothes because he's wearing civilian clothes. That's according to Chachamim. But according to Rav Meir, the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim would be after he would remove the clothes. So that's like preparatory to putting on the new clothes. So according to Rameyer, we would think, the Talmidim are saying, Lechor, Rameyer was mentioned in the Mishnah Lama Dalet, would hold here that you would do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim after he removes the civilian clothes, because the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim is preparatory to wearing the new clothes. The new clothes are the big days Zahav. That's what they're asking. Our Mishnah apparently is not like Rameyer. That's what the Gemara thinks. So the Gemara thinks that the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, according to the Chachamim, is related to disrobing. And according to Rameyer, it's related to putting on the new clothes. Okay? All right, let's see back in the Gemara. So, Michael, if you just came in on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, in the top line in the Gemara. All right? Nice to have 31B. Nice to have everybody here. All right. So he says, Amru Rabbanan Kavid Rapapa, Hadlo Kravayer. They said that this Mishnah apparently is not like the Tana Rameyer. He, Rameyer, if it would be like Rabbi Meir, he says, Kema da Amar Trei Kiddushe Yalavisha Abid Lahu. The mayor holds that when you're putting on new garments, it's accompanied by two Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. You do one Kiddush Adayim Raglayim before you put the garments on, and then one after you have it on. So according to the mayor, you should have two of them. He says, excuse me, Dibra Meir came into Mar Trei Kiddush Elavisha Abidlu, Achnami Lavi Trei Kiddush Elavisha. So here too, you should put, so since the Mishnah does not say that, apparently our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Meir. Now remember that point, because in the Maskana, that's the way it's going to be, that this Mishnah is not like Rabbi Meir. But the Gemara says, Amar Luhura Papa, Bein Rabbana, Bein Rabbi Meir, Chad Apshita, Bidik Kodesh, V'chad Alavisha. So Rabbi Papa wants to say, and again, the Gemara is going to slug him up in a little bit, he wants to say that no, that both Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim are both in agreement that in the next Mishnah, when it says that you'll do two Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, that one Kiddush Adayim Raglayim is related to disrobing, and one was related to getting dressed in the new garment. They both are on the same page with that. He says, "Bahach bahach miflagi." But the point of dispute that they have, according to Rabbi Papa, is based on the following pasuk. It says, "Upashat rachatz v'lavash," that he'll. This is by the Avot on Yom Kippur. Upashat, he'll disrobe, then v'rachatz, he'll wash, and then v'lavash. So the Gemara, let me say this first. The Gemara is going to learn out that here v'rachatz refers to Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. And when it says v'rachatz in the middle, so the Gemara learns v'rachatz relates both to the first verb, which is upashat, and it relates to the second verb, which is lavash. So this is if the pasuk would have, like you see in parentheses, it says v'rachatz again. So it's if the pasuk would say, upashat v'rachatz v'rachatz v'lavash. Let's look at the Rashi on this for a minute. Let's take a look. Let me get the Rashi. Look at the second wide line in Rashi, the second wide line in Rashi, the second medium wide line. He says, Upashat v'rachatz v'rachatz v'lavash. First of all, you see the Dibur Machzil in Rashi, he had two v'rachatzes there. He says, Upashat b'di abad v'lavash v'gomer. So in the Chumash, it says, he'll remove the big day abad, he'll remove the linen clothes that he wore. And then he'll wash, and he says, and then he'll wear a garment, the new garments. So the pasuk puts the verb rachitza between the pshita, which is disrobing, and levisha, which is the getting dressed. So the Gemara later on darshens this word v'rachatz, referring to the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. Now, brachatz is often, you know, immersing the mikvah, but here the Gemara says, or it could be they have both, but the Gemara is learning Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. He says, "Bi'alpin minei trei kiddushe b'shadinan brachatz upashat bi'av lavash kilu k'ti brachatz trei zimni." So the Gemara learns out that you have to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. Kiddush Adayim Raglayim is when you wash your hands and your feet from the kiyor. So he's going to have to do it twice. One related to upashat, to disrobing, and one related to lavash. So he's there. Wait three lines and we'll come to it, okay? So the b'hak mitzvah upashat rachat lavash. Rameir savar machis pshita lavisha. Rameir holds that we connect the pshita, the disrobing, to the robing, to the getting dressed. Malavisha lavesh v'charchat makadesh. Now they both agree. And when it comes to getting dressed, they both agree that you do the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim after you're dressed in the new clothes. Whatever clothes you're wearing, big day Zahav or big day Lavan, you do the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim after you're in the new uniform. That everybody agrees with that. He says, "Ach shita poshet b'karkat makadish." So the way Rav Papa is explaining the shita of Rav Meir, Rav Meir holds the connection between the two verbs. So the pasuk says, "Hu pashat," which is throw b'rachatz b'lavash. So by b'lavash, and the rachatz goes on both verbs. So it was rachatz relates to both actions. So by b'lavash, and it's, I think it's based on psukim, Rashi says, let me take a look. Yeah. So Rashi says it's based on psukim. Rashi learns based on psukim that we know that b'lavash, and then you're going to do you wear the new clothes, and then you'll do kiddush daim raglayim. So Meir learns, so both verbs are connected. So totsu pshita, when you disrobe, then you do kiddush daim raglayim. He says, v'rabbanan, back in the Gemara, v'rabbanan savri, makish pshita levisha. A chacham hold, yeah, we connect the disrobing to the rope, to the getting dressed. Malavisha kshu lavush makadesh, just like by Lavisha, when he's dressed, that's when he does the kiddush daim raglayim. Ah, pshita kshu lavush makadesh. So too, like before he disrobes, but he's going to be wearing the clothes, he'll do the kiddush daim raglayim. Okay, let's go slowly for a second. So again, we learned from the Mishnah on the Dalam of Days that there's a machlok between Rav Meir and the Chachamim about kiddush daim raglayim. So the Chachamim hold that before he gets undressed, he does kiddush daim raglayim. Then he immerses in the mikveh. And then he dresses the new clothes, and he does kiddush daim raglayim. That's the way the Chachamim learn. And Rav Meir holds that he disrobes, then he does kiddush daim raglayim, then he immerses in the mikveh, then he wears the new clothes, and he does kiddush daim raglayim. So the Talmidim thought that Rav Meir is learning that the two kiddush daim raglayim, the two washing of the hands and the feet, are related to the new clothes. That's why he's doing it after he's disrobed. And the Chachamim hold that before he disrobes, he does the kiddush daim raglayim, that relates to the previous clothes. That's what they thought. So if that's the case, so Rav Meir in our Mishnah, so our Mishnah only mentions just doing one kiddush daim raglayim after you dress the Bidei Zahav. But the Chora, according to Rav Meir, he should do the kiddush daim raglayim after he disrobes from his civilian clothes. That's the question Talmidim said. Apparently our Mishnah does not follow Rav Meir. So Rav Papa said that no, both the Chachamim and Rav Meir hold that the kiddush daim raglayim is related. One is related to disrobing, and one is related to getting dressed. It's just how they learn the psukim. So the Chachamim learn that they both have to be done when they're wearing clothes. Rav Meir holds that just like the rechitz is done after the levisha, so to the rechitz is done after the pshita, after he takes off the clothes. All right, let me just do a few more lines and I'll pause. Okay, so he says, so if that's the case, then indeed Rav Meir would agree in our Mishnah that that there's only one kiddush daim raglayim because the pshita was civilian clothes, didn't relate to anything with the avoda. Okay, don't worry. I see Yosef has a frown on his face. Let me get to Yosef and any other questions we got. Okay. So Yosef wants me to review again. Okay, I'm just going to review this piece of Gemara. Okay, so Chazar is the key to learning. Like the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, if a person learns and doesn't review, he's like Zorea ve'enu kotzer. It's like a person who sows seeds doesn't harvest, because the Ikar learning is really the Chazar. Okay, Shai, you still with the Shai? Okay, here's not so easy to fall asleep. Okay, now so we learn the machloket in the Mishnah on Lamed Daled on the days. On Lamed Daled, we're talking about the second immersion of the Kohen Gadol, when he's changing from the Big Day Zahav to the Big Day Abad, from the clothes with gold, 8 begadim, to the clothes with linen, 4 garments. So the Mishnah says that according to the Chachamim, before he disrobes, he does Kiddush Daim Raglayim at his feet, then he disrobes, then he immerses in the mikveh, and he puts on the Big Day Zahav, and then he does Kiddush Daim Raglayim. That's according to the Chachamim. And Rav Meir over there holds that after he disrobes, he does Kiddush Daim Raglayim, and then he immerses in the mikveh, and then he puts on the Big Day Zahav, and then he does Kiddush Daim Raglayim. So so the Svara Pshuta is that the Chachamim relate the Kiddush Daim Raglayim to disrobing, and Rav Meir relates the Kiddush Daim Raglayim only to wearing those new clothes. That's why he's so apparently Rameir holds Lakora according to that Svara. You need Kiddush Adayim Raglayim before you put the new clothes on, and Kiddush Adayim Raglayim after you put the new clothes on. That's what Rameir holds. Come and say no. You need Kiddush Adayim Raglayim before you take all the old clothes off, and then you need Kiddush Adayim Raglayim after you put the new clothes on. That's what we thought. So if that's the case, the Mishnah on Laman Aleph Beis cannot be according to Rameir, because Rameir here he's taking off the civilian clothes. So the Chacham holds there's no Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, but the civilian clothes. Rameir holds I need Kiddush Adayim Raglayim before I put on the big days of Ahav. So he should have it twice, but he doesn't have it. So the Mishnah's not like Rameir. That's what the Chachamim asked. So far, so good. Okay. So then Rabbi Papa said, no, you know, like, hold your horses. It's not correct. According to Rabbi Papa, they both agree that Kiddush Adayim, there's a Kiddush Adayim Raglayim that's related to disrobing, and a Kiddush Adayim Raglayim is related to putting on clothes. It's just how they understand the Pesukim. So Rameir understood. It says upashat v'lavash v'rachatz, upashat v'rachatz v'lavash. He'll disrobe, you know, wash, and he'll get robe. So just like by the levisha, it takes place after you do the verb, after you're dressed. So too, when you do the pshita, it's related after to you disrobe, you do the kiddush adayim raglayim. That's where Rameir learns it. And Chachamim learn that just like he's dressed when he does the one with Levisha, so too he's dressed with the one with Peshitta. But they both relate it to each one. That's what the Gemara thinks. So if that's the case, so then in Akinami, our Mishnah could even be like Mayor. Rameir would also hold out of the way. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. So let me go on to the Gemara. Okay, welcome, Yosef. Okay. What? All right. Let's see further in the Gemara. Now, so let's see about the Gemara. So we're 8 lines from the bottom on Laman Aleph Beis, 31b, page 62, 8 lines from the bottom. Okay? So the Gemara says, Umi Matzid Avid Hafi. Is that like a viable pshat, the one that Rabbi Papa is offering? Bahatani, we learn in the Braisa, Parsus Sadin Shabbat Beino Levein Ha. Now this Braisa is talking about the first immersion in the mikveh, and when he's getting out of civilian clothes and putting on the big days of Ahav, which is the same topic as our Mishnah. So the Bryce and the Mishnah are talking about the same thing. The Bryce brings new opinions to bear. That they spread a linen curtain between the Kohen and the people, so he shouldn't see him when he's immersing. Then Pashat Biarad B'Taval, he disrobed, he went into the mikveh, he immersed himself in the mikveh, Alav in his tapeg, he got out and dried himself off. Hevilo Big Day Zahav, Lavash, they brought him the Big Day Zahav, he got dressed in the Big Day Zahav. And then he did Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. That's according to the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir Omer, and here we didn't have this on our Mishnah, but in the Braisa we do have Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir Omer, Pashat Mekidesh Adayim Raglayim. Rabbi Meir says, when he's Pashat, when he disrobes from the civilian clothes, in Achinami, he does Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, like the Talmidim of Rav Papa thought when they're questioned. Biarad V'Taval, and then he went down and immersed. Alav and Esapeh, he got out, and he dried himself off. Maybe a little big day zahav for lavash, and then they brought the big day zahav. He dressed that. So this is like putting a nail in Rav Papa's coffin. It can't be like Rav Papa said that it's that everybody agrees it's related to that one kiddush adayim raglayim is related to pshita, and one is related to or hafshata, and one is related to levisha. He says because you see here that Rameir holds that he does have a kiddush adayim raglayim. So Amar Lahu, Sir Papa said, Itani, listen, if you have a Brisa, what am I supposed to say? You have a Brisa, and that's it. I give up. And I give up. It's, that's it. So in Akinami, the Gemara ends up saying that our Mishnah is not like Reb Meir. Now, let's take a look at the bottom line on Laman Aleph Beis. The Gemara says, Bishleim Reb Meir had on the Mashkacha law as Sarat Kiddushin. Now, we said that the Mishnah said that on Yom Kippur, there's 10 kiddushin. In other words, 10 times the Kohen has to wash his hands and feet. Now, according to Rav Meir, it works out well that there are 10 kiddushin because, again, he's going to go through 5 immersions. So each time he's immersing the mikvah, there's a washing of the hands, 2 washing of the hands and feet. It's like here's the first time. So he's washing the hands and feet after he disrobes, then he washes the hands and feet when he gets dressed. And then that takes place 5 times. So 5 times 2 is 10. So the Gemara says, according to Meir, so the other halacha that you have to immerse, in that the Kohen Gadol will wash his hands and feet 10 times, it works that well. El Rabbanan Tisha Habu. But according to the Chachamim, it's not going to work out well, because at the end, in other words, he's only going to have nine. The last time he puts on new begadim, he's going to do kiddush adar meglayim, but it's going to only add up to nine. The first time he did one, then two, 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 two. So it's nine. So that's it. So how do I have 10 atzar kiddushin? So amilah rabbanan, the chachamim would say to you, kiddusha batra, kipashit big day kodesh, balavish big day chol, avid layatam. He said that when he takes off the big day kodesh, so the chachamim hold that he does an additional one according to chachamim, according to Rameh or not. But so that would be the 10th time got filled in. All right.
Why, according to the chachamim, would they do an additional one when he's going into the chol close?
Yeah. So the only thing I would say in other words, so let's look at the Rashi and then we'll try the best we can. The third wide line in Rashi upstairs, Kiddusha Batrik, Shigamara Avodah Kol Yom, when he completed all the Avodah of the day, Uposhe Big Day Kodesh, and now he's taking off Big Day Kodesh, Belovesh Big Day Chol, and he's putting on his civilian clothes, he does Kiddusha Daim Raglayim. So Abid Le Hatam, Shabbalav Shal Big Day Kodesh, Ludidan Tfirlan, Kiddush Chad Apshita, V'chad Levisha. Right. So it sounds like Rashi's saying you need one Kiddush Daim Raglayim. In other words, the way the Chachamim are saying, when you take off the Big Day Kodesh or you put on Big Day Kodesh, you need to have Kiddush Daim Raglayim. So according to the Chachamim, we understand. So the first time he was taking off Big Day Chol, he's not going to do Kiddush Daim Raglayim. But then he put on the Big Day Kodesh, so he has it. At the tail end, when he takes off the Big Day Kodesh, he has to do a Kiddush Daim Raglayim. But let's see.
So it's connected to the Kodesh.
One second. He says, well, Rebbe Meir, Loma Kaddish Midi, Sherei Eino Ba Lo Bosh Be Di Kodesh. Rebbe Meir is focused
on what you're going into, and Rebbe Yehuda is focused on what you're coming out of.
Rebbe Meir says the Kiddush Daim Raglayim is after I wear the Big Day Kodesh, I do one before the Big Day Kodesh, and then one after the Big Day Kodesh. That's the way Rebbe Meir holds. And in other words, according to Rebbe Meir, the Kiddush Daim Raglayim is all concomitant with wearing Big Day Kodesh. According to the Chachamim, it's related to both Hafshata and Labisha, and that's why they fill it up at the end. That's the best they have with it. You need more Hezra, or needs more Hezra, but that's the best they have with that. Okay, any other questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did tonight? All right, let me see what I got here.
The art scroll in 132a, number 3, says that the Mishnah 170a explicitly states that the Kohen Gadol would do hands and feet, sanctity after completing the entire Yom Kippur service.
Which is like what the Gemara said here.
Right.
That's what the Chachamim say.
Yeah. All right, one second. Let me look at one more thing here. I could do a little piece that was a little bit from yesterday, but let me just take a look. All right, I think I'm going to call it a day. Okay. All right, let me just end the recording. I'll talk to people.